chapter 10. This morning we're going to talk about Jesus' sheep and the sheep of his pasture. John chapter 10, verse 22 through 31 to start with. So John chapter 10, verse 22 through 31. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity we can have to sit together, to hear from heaven, to be guided by your Spirit through the Scriptures. We ask, Father, you would speak to us in a very powerful way, helping us, Lord, to understand the lessons that we're to learn, remembering the things we're to be reminded of. We ask that you would teach the children in junior church, just like you did in Sunday school. Open up their hearts and minds to the Bible lessons, allowing the Word of God to take root in their hearts, as well as our hearts, to bring forth much fruit to our good and to your glory. Father, we ask that you would bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, there's a very unique relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. Jesus often used the illustration of sheep, and he would illustrate the sheep as his people. Throughout the Bible, we would be illustrated as trees planted by the rivers of waters, different things in nature that he would use, God would use to illustrate our growth in the Word of God, would illustrate our relationship with the shepherd. Go to Psalm 23. David gives a wonderful illustration of a shepherd and a shepherd's heart for his sheep. As David was a young shepherd boy, he understood the sacrifice of a shepherd. He understood the love of a shepherd for his sheep. He understood what it meant to be a good shepherd. In Psalm 23, David writes, The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As David looks at the role of a shepherd and how a shepherd provides for his flock, how a shepherd protects his flock, David understood what it was to be a good shepherd, and I believe that's why God chose him to be the second king of Israel, because he had the heart of a shepherd. He had the heart of the greatest shepherd ever, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ being the good shepherd. Now, when you go back to John chapter 10, Jesus talks about the difference between a hireling and a shepherd. A hireling is someone who's hired to watch the sheep while the shepherd, you know, for whatever reason, maybe he's sick, he's not able to go out there, he's got to go into town. Whatever the reason for having a hireling, the hireling does not love the sheep. The hireling doesn't care about the sheep. The hireling cares about one thing, and that's getting paid. And Jesus illustrates in chapter 10 that when a wolf cometh, the hireling flees. The hireling does not try to defend the flock from the wolf. The hireling flees, only looking after himself. The wolf comes, scatters the sheep, has its way with the sheep, and obviously kills some of the sheep. But the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and Jesus, obviously being the good shepherd, gave his life for the flock that God had given him, the people that would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I heard a story of an evangelist recently giving this illustration of himself. In his younger years, he had gone and he had been invited to a church to do some revival meetings, and that pastor of the church, he had about 100 sheep that he took care of on his property, and he invited the evangelist and his family, his wife and two young children, to come to his house and to look at the sheep. And when they got there, the evangelist said, you know, he saw this beautiful property. The house was ran down. The house needed some work. But he noticed just this property kind of going up into the hillside. And all dotted upon the hillside were these sheep, about 100 sheep. And he looked, they took, went over the fence, and the pastor was talking about the sheep and stuff. All of a sudden, the pastor says, you know what? You want the sheep to come down here so you can see them? And, oh, yeah, you know, kids, you know, they want to see the sheep and pet the sheep. So this pastor just hollered out, yo, sheep, come. And all of a sudden, all these sheep started coming down and came right to the pastor, who obviously was their shepherd. An amazing thing. I mean, everyone loved it. And he was talking about the sheep and giving just the life history of each sheep, where they came from. Some were abandoned, some were orphans, some had, you know, he had cared for and nurtured. And they went inside for lunch. And his little girl, the evangelist little girl, said, you know, Daddy, you think I could call the sheep? She thought it was pretty neat to, you know, just say, come, sheep. And they just came. And the, well, you know, you got to ask the pastor. Oh, yeah, you go ahead. So they went out on the front porch. And this little girl with all her little squeaky voices, come, sheep. And the sheep didn't come. They didn't move. They were back in the hillside. And they kind of chuckled. And then his 8-year-old son said, well, can I give it a try? And the pastor, yeah, go ahead, son. And he's like, come, sheep. And still, nothing. And they're just laughing. And just they just think it's great. The pastor, he's laughing because he understands. And then the evangelist, the father, is like, well, you know, let me try. And he, with all his muster, because he actually grew up on a farm, so he thought, you know what, I'll just mimic the pastor's voice, and maybe they'll come. And he hollered out, come, sheep. And he said one lonely ram lifted his head, looked in his direction, and went right back to eating. And the pastor is just laughing and having a good time. And they're like, you know, well, why won't the sheep come? And the pastor said, well, let me show you. And the pastor said, come, sheep. And the sheep all started coming. Because, you know, it's true. When you read chapter 10, Jesus says, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. The sheep will not come to any other voice that's not distinct. They know the voice of the shepherd. And Jesus uses this illustration of sheep relationship with the shepherd in chapter 10 to remind us, listen, we need to know the voice of the shepherd. It's a distinct voice. It's a devoted voice. It is a divine voice. And you and I, as the sheep of his pasture, we need guidance. We need protection. We need provision. And God supplies all of that for us. And what happens when a lamb gets lost in the wilderness, when a sheep decides to go astray? Jesus gave the account of the shepherd leaving the 99 that were safe to go in search of the one that was lost. And the shepherd would not return until it found the lost lamb, whether alive or dead. And Jesus gives the illustration. Obviously, the lamb was found alive. The shepherd puts the lamb on his shoulder and comes back to the fold. But it's an amazing thing that Jesus uses the illustration of a shepherd and his sheep, because it truly is the life illustration of God and his people. We need to be in tune to God's voice, because there are a lot of voices in this world that can distract us from the true voice that we need to be listening to. I was listening, someone had shared it with me, I was listening to another evangelist give a testimony in regards to knowing God's voice. Well, he wasn't an evangelist, he's a Christian lawyer, and in his early years, him and another lawyer were visiting this church and ministering to it and preaching. And this pastor said, you know, this, I'll call him an evangelist, this evangelist was getting ready to leave. He had a plane ticket. And this pastor said, oh, no, no, I have a plane. I can fly. Let me fly you. You save your ticket. And this evangelist said, you know what? Against all better judgment, he went with the pastor. And it wasn't until they got up into the air. Now, he said it was a smooth takeoff. Everything was fine. But the pastors told him, I always pass out when I go through the clouds, and it's a cloudy day. And this evangelist said, well, why are you flying if you know that you pass out? And as soon as he said, he passed out. And here is a passed out pastor pilot, a Christian lawyer evangelist, and another lawyer in this plane. They don't know how to fly. And here's the pilot who's passed out. So they grab the radio. They're calling for help. So there's another airplane in the area that hears their cry and tells them, hey, okay, I'm a signal. I'm a come back. I'm going to get in touch with the radio tower. They can help you. And they get the help. The radio tower, the guy comes on and tells them, listen to my voice. Everything I tell you to do, do it. He said, in four minutes, you're going to hit a mountain and you're going to die. So listen to my voice, do everything I'm telling you to, and you'll live. A storm came up. The guy on the radio, he's telling them, don't look out the windows. Just look at the instruments, do everything I tell you to do. Listen to my voice. There were some other pilots that came on that were in the area and heard, because he stopped all traffic coming in that area where they were at and to the airport, stopped all traffic, rerouted all traffic. There were pilots getting on, just encouraging them, hey, you know, you're going to make it. Listen to the voice of the guy that's talking there in the tower. And it was, I forget how long it was, but several, I think it was an hour and a half, if I remember what he said. About an hour and a half, they finally landed safely. But they had to listen to the voice tell them what to do. They'd never flown before. They didn't know what the instruments were. They didn't know what to do with the stick that went back and forth or the pedals or anything. But because he listened to every word he was told to do, they landed the plane without any incident. And funny thing is, after they landed, the pastor pilot woke up. But what an awesome life example, though, of needing to listen to the voice that was telling you what to do so you would live through that moment of life. Again, when you look at John chapter 10, we need to be in tune with God's voice. We need to know God's voice without a shadow of a doubt. And Jesus says in chapter 10, his sheep know his voice. Now, in our reading, Jesus kind of, again, these Pharisees and scribes, you know, they say here, look in verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said to him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, he's been telling them by the miracles he's been doing. They're not of his pasture. They're not his sheep, so they don't hear his voice. They're not drawn to him like the sheep are, like the people who are being drawn to him for salvation. There is a recognition between the shepherd and his sheep, and it is the shepherd's voice. In verse 27 of John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. Now, we hear his voice, but often we ignore the voice. Sometimes, you know, okay, Lord, I hear you, but I'm going to do this anyway. We need to recognize the voice of God. The voice of God never leads us into danger, will never lead us astray from his path. It's a very distinct voice. The world is all about being loud. The devil's all about being loud and grabbing the attention. God has a soft, still voice that speaks and says, this is the way, walk ye in it. In John chapter 7, verse 46, they said of Jesus when he read the scriptures as he was starting his ministry, sitting in the synagogue, reading out of the book of Isaiah, they said of Jesus, never man spake like this man. They said he read with authority, not like the scribes who just kind of read it because of a routine. When Jesus read the word of God, it was with authority. There was passion. There was something to it, and they could hear in his voice the distinctness. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The voice of God is authoritative. It's a loving, compassionate voice, but there's authority behind it. It's a devoted voice. In John chapter 10, verse 25, right here, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They weren't hearing the voice of God through the miracles that Jesus was doing. Through the blind seeing, through the lame walking, the dead being raised to life, demons being cast out of people, was speaking loud volume that this is Christ, this is the Messiah, this is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. But many were not hearing. Many were denying it. John chapter 8 and verse 29, and he that sent me, Jesus says, is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Matthew 20, 28, even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. There were those that were hearing loud and clear, this is Christ. You remember the Samaritan woman at the well? Jesus, he said he needed to go through this town of Samaria. He sat down at the well. This woman comes out. He has a conversation with her. By the time their conversation is ended, she's dropped the water pitcher that she came with. She's running back into town saying, is not this the Christ? Is not this the one we're looking for? She heard his voice. It was drawing her unto him, and she recognized that she would never thirst again if she took the living water that he was giving, that he would provide. It's not only a distinct voice and a devoted voice, because the voice of Christ is devoted to the will of God, to complete and to accomplish the will of God in your life. But it's a divine voice. It's a wonderful voice. In John 10 and verse 30, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. That's why they took up stones to stone him, because he was saying he was God, and he is God. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Can you imagine? On that day that John is on the Isle of Patmos, he's been exiled for his faith. They couldn't kill him in boiling him in oil, so they exile him to the Isle of Patmos, thinking they'll get rid of him, but he lives on, and he dies natural causes later on, dies of a good old age. But here on the Lord's Day, if I go to Revelation chapter 1, excuse my voice, Revelation chapter 1, we need to hear the voice of God this morning anyway, not mine. Revelation chapter 1. I want you to notice, let's just start in verse number 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophet. Remember, Jesus always said, those that have ears, let them hear. He that hath ears, let him hear. Well, everyone has ears, but everyone doesn't hear the voice of God. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet. Here's John spending time on the Lord's day with the Lord, even though he is on an island for his faith. He's been deserted. Yet he has not deserted the one who's been faithful to him. But he said he heard a great voice saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. He goes on to describe what he sees. But the fact that John heard a voice, it was a distinct voice, it was a devoted voice, it was a powerful voice, it was an authoritative voice. I am Alpha and Omega. We know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. But as John is spending time with God on the Lord's day, he says he's in the Spirit. He's worshiping God. He's spending some time with the Lord on the Lord's day. And he hears the voice of God speak to him, and he turns to that voice. We need to turn to the voice of God on a daily basis. You and I know who Jesus Christ is. You and I know we're the children of God. But how often do we neglect the voice of God when he speaks to us? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Look back at verse 27 of John chapter 10. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And this morning I hope you hear the voice of God as he speaks to you, and that we respond to his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I know them. Again, this is the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. He knows them. Again, for time's sake, if you were to go back and read, you know what? Go back and read. Starting at verse 1 of chapter 10. Because we need to always remember this relationship that we have with Christ. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. And we are to follow him. We're not to go astray. We're not to run ahead of him. Excuse me. But we are to follow him, and we are to follow his voice as he leads us. In verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Understand, in this time, and there are countries in the Middle East that still have shepherds, and they tend to their sheep, and they still do it this way. But the porter was a place that the sheep would be at, and the shepherd would come to get his sheep, to take them out into the fields, into the pasture. And the porter knows the shepherds, and he would open up so the shepherds could come in, and the shepherd would call his sheep by name. You understand, sheep all look alike. There's no distinction. We all look different. We all are distinct in our mannerism, in our personality, in the way that we look. But sheep, generally, they all look alike. And the shepherd knows them one by one, knows them all by name. Again, in the beginning, I told you about this evangelist and this pastor with his sheep. And the evangelist was testifying. This pastor was telling him about every sheep. Well, this sheep, this happened, this sheep. She had twins. I had to help her because she was having problems giving birth to the twin kids, the baby sheep and stuff. And I mean, he was amazed that he's like, this evangelist is saying they all look the same, but he knows each one and knows their life history. Well, that's a good shepherd that knows his sheep by name and knows everything about them. Our shepherd knows everything about us, and I'm glad he knows our name. I'm glad we're not a number. Oh, number 1,577,000. You know, I'm glad that's not me with a number, but I have a name, and he knows my name. And just like Mary in the garden, there at the tomb, Mary, and she knew that voice. Remember, at first she was confused. She thought it was a gardener because she was weeping uncontrollably. The tomb is empty. She's assuming someone stole the body. Her vision is blurred. She's not seeing clearly. She assumes the man that she's seeing is the gardener and says, where have you taken his body? But as soon as the man, Jesus, spoke and said, Mary, she knew the voice and said, Rabboni. That's how well we need to know the voice of God, that when he speaks, we know it's our shepherd. We know it's our heavenly Father. We know it's our Savior. We know it's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. We need to remember it is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again here, the sheep only follow the shepherd. They will not follow any other voice. In verse number 5, it says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. We need to flee from the voices of this world that want to lead us astray, that want to lead us into danger, that want to lead us into the pack of wolves that wants to destroy us. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour God's people. He knows he can't steal your salvation, but he knows given the opportunity, he can devour us, and we need to be in tune to the voice of God. We need to recognize the voice of God in our life because it is our relationship. He knows us, and we need to know his name. It's a wonderful, singular relationship. It's a relationship between the shepherd and his sheep, not just the flock, but individually. Again, he knows you by name. He knows your life. He wants to guide you and me through our life. Again, David said in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? Not that you know him as the shepherd, but is he your shepherd? You follow him. You let him lead you. You let him guide you, and when he tells you something's not right, you don't buck up against it, but you follow his leading. You follow him away from danger. You're letting him be completely in control of your life, leading you to the green pasture, leading you to the still waters. As even David said, his staff and his rod comforts me. Because you understand the shepherd's staff, how it has the hook. The hook is for saving. The pointed end of it is for protection. Remember, David testified that God gave him victory over a bear and a lion that came after his sheep, and the lion even had one of his lambs in his mouth, and he took the lamb out of its mouth, took the ear, the Bible records that he took. David was not only a man after God's own heart, but he was a good shepherd who put his life on the line for his sheep. And our shepherd, Jesus Christ, put his life on the line for us and has given us life because he individually loves you and me. In Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. We need to have that desire for our shepherd, Jesus Christ, that there's no one else that we desire in our life, because Colossians 2 verse 10 reminds us, and ye are complete in him. Our relationship with the shepherd makes us complete. He's the one that we follow. He's the one that we rely upon. He's the one that we allow ourselves to get close to. We know his voice, that we will not follow another voice, because He is a shepherd who has sacrificed for us. Look at verse 11 through 15 of John chapter 10. It's a sacrificial relationship. The sheep don't sacrifice, but the shepherd does. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. You understand, as he's saying this, yeah, it's a reference, the devil is a thief, but the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the day, they were hirelings. They were not under shepherds. They didn't care about the people of God. They didn't hear the voice of the great shepherd. They denied him. They only wanted God's people for their own benefit, to make them seem like they were important. They loved the greetings in the marketplace. They loved the upper rooms and the feasts and all of that. Jesus says, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, just again, look at verse 5 of chapter 10. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I dare say this morning we're not all in tune with God's voice. We know his voice, but we're not in tune with it. Because there's times in our life that we don't adhere to the voice of God. And we find ourselves getting hurt. We find ourselves getting in trouble when God tries to speak to us and we kind of ignore it. Sometimes we'll say, oh, I didn't hear God say that. Have you ever told somebody something and they go, oh, I never heard you say that? You know, you tell kids, you know, don't do this, you'll get hurt or something, or we just don't want you doing it, and then they do it. Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I thought you said, and sometimes they'll say something else. And as adults, we do that sometimes, and we have done that. But God's voice is very distinct. You know when God is speaking. This past Monday, myself, my wife, and Matthew were involved in a car accident just over on Seymour Lake Road, just before you get to Dunlap Road, where the sheriff's department substation is. And we were coming down, and if you're familiar with Seymour Lake Road, you have Coates Road, and then you have Sandy Road. And Sandy Road kind of cuts over to Drainer Road, which, you know, it's a shortcut to my house. And as we were approaching that, I kind of had this feeling I should go down Sandy Road. But in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what? They haven't graded it. There's craters. There's things that are going to tear up my car. I just bypassed it. Hindsight's always 20/20. I wish I would have went down Sandy Road. But as we were approaching Dunlap Road, there's a garbage truck, oncoming traffic, stop, getting trash. There's a line of cars behind him. As we're getting closer to Dunlap Road, I notice that there's a gap between the cars. They made a gap so anyone turning, you know, left and on the Dunlap could do that. But as we got right to Dunlap, a car darts out from Dunlap right in front of us. There's no way I'm going to avoid. I try to slam on the brakes, and I try to turn the car, but we hit anyway. Our vehicle is flung off the road through a road sign, someone's mailbox. We ended up stopping in the ditch. At the moment, I wasn't thinking about it, but as I was thinking about this yesterday, I do remember having that feeling, that voice, take this way. And against all better judgment, thinking, nah, that I don't want to go down that bumpy road, I went this way, and yet God was trying to protect me from an accident. That's what happens when you don't listen to the voice of God. You try to dismiss it, try to excuse it, all right? Saying is, as Jesus talks about the voice of the shepherd, we as the sheep have to work on making sure that we hear that voice We recognize that voice and we respond to that voice. Because God is in a relationship with us that He guides our steps. He does want to provide for us. And even as David says in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Now, it's not to be afraid in this life, but again, God will and does protect us from harm at different times. And God is not going to push His way into our life. The world pushes its way in. The world tries to shove what's wrong in the face of what's right. God has a soft, still voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we're just reminded that we have this wonderful relationship with the one who truly does and did put His life on the line. And it's a voice that's worth listening to and responding to. It's a wonderful voice. I mean, it is. It's a powerful voice. It's an authoritative voice. But it's a loving voice. It's a compassionate voice. I mean, all those wrapped up in one. I mean, I cannot, with my voice, sound like I have compassion, authority, love, forgiveness, and grace all in one voice. Our voice kind of fluctuates to show, you know what, if we're upset or if we're compassionate or if we're caring or loving. But God's voice has all of that in His voice at one time. And you and I have to be keen to the awareness of His voice. In John chapter 10, you look at verse 4 and 5 again, it says, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice, and a stranger will they not follow. Remember, Jesus warned us, as well as the apostles, Paul, Peter, James, and John, all warned about false apostles, false prophets, that would lead God's people astray for their own benefit, for destruction. And we were to be leery of that. We are not to follow everything that seems Christ-like or has the name of Christ attached to it. Because there are false prophets in this world that want to draw the sheep of God's pasture away. But if we will stay in tune to God's voice, and the best way that you and I can stay in tune to God's voice is to stay in tune to His word. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But what are His commandments? You got to read His word. You got to read. What was Jesus' teachings? What was it that Jesus taught His disciples? What is it in God's word that guides us? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want to know God's voice more keenly and be more aware of that wonderful voice, then we've got to be in tune to His word. It has to be a daily part of our life. I can't expect myself to know God's voice if I'm never in His word. That's why I believe so many are led astray. Forgive me for paraphrasing. I know there's some scripture that talks about every bitter thing to the hungry soul is sweet. But to the full soul, it loatheth even a honeycomb. I mean, you think about it, if we're not filled with the goodness of God's word, then everything that seems like it sounds good will be enticing and we'll just devour it when it's mixed with poison. Knowing the voice of God truly does keep us from harm. And I know there's times where God will lead us into a storm. He did that with His disciples. For a reason, for a purpose, not for their destruction, but to strengthen their faith, to show that He has authority even over nature. There's no mother nature. There's a heavenly Father who created nature. But again, it's about the voice of God. Can you distinguish God's voice from the voices of this world? Because God's voice will never lead you away from Him. God's voice will never lead you or me contrary to His word. The world has its teaching, The world has its lies, but we have the truth of God's word, and you and I need to continue to sharpen our skills in hearing the divine voice of God in our life.